Colossians chapter 1. The two messages I intend to bring this morning are, I suppose, really the same message in two parts of our union with Christ. First, we'll look at Christ in you, and then in the message this morning, we'll look at you in Christ. The title of the lesson is, What is Your Hope of Glory? That's an important question, isn't it? What is your hope of glory? Now, Paul wrote this letter to the church at Colossae while he was in prison at Rome. At the same time, he wrote the previous two letters we've looked at in Ephesians and Philippians. But now, this church had not been established through Paul's ministry. He says at the end of verse 1 of chapter 2, As many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Paul had never been there. They'd never seen him. This church was not established through his ministry. But Paul had heard about their faith and their love, and he thanked God for them, just like he did the churches that were founded through his preaching. And Paul is here in prison, and he does not expect to ever get out of prison to be able to go to Colossae and preach to them. So he writes a letter to give them one message. He said, Now here's the one message that I wish you'd hear from me that will establish you in the faith. He told them, I've heard of your faith. You believed in Christ. Now you continue to believe on him. You continue to look to him and rely upon him. Don't look anywhere other than Christ. Christ is all you need, because Christ is all. That's the theme of this book, and that's the message that Paul wanted these believers at Colossae to hear. Christ is all. If you look in chapter 3, verse 11, here's the theme of the book. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, none of these differences of the flesh matter. But Christ is all and in all. That's the message of the gospel. Christ is all. Christ is all in salvation. Christ is all of our obedience. Christ is all of our sacrifice for sin. Christ is all of our righteousness. Christ is all of our sanctification. All of our faith is in Christ. Christ is all in creation. He's all in the events of providence, and he will be all throughout eternity. Christ is all of our doctrine. Christ is all of our preaching. Christ is all of our worship. Christ is all. Now, with that in mind, let's read verse 27 of Colossians chapter 1. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now I ask you again, what is your hope of glory? I want each of us to answer that question. What is your hope of glory? Now when Paul speaks of glory here, he's talking about heaven. And you know, we don't know very many details about heaven at all. Mostly what we know about heaven is glory. Because Christ is there. You know, I think back over the years listening to Brother Henry preach. As far as I can recollect, he always referred to heaven as glory. Because that's pretty much all we know about heaven. I think the best word we can use to describe heaven is glory. So what is your hope of glory? What is your hope of going to heaven? Everybody has some hope. Everybody, without exception, has some hope of going to heaven. Now, it may be a false hope, but they're hoping in something. It could be they just hope. You know, this is a hope like a wish. Like, I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but they hope that in judgment their good will outweigh their bad and they'll be accepted. Or they hope God will just overlook some of the bad things that they've done. Or, you know, they hope their mama will go, you know, plead with God for them like she would go plead for the principal, you know, not to suspend you or something. They may hope in their church membership. They may hope in their doctrine. But according to the Word of God, all of those are bad hopes of glory. I hope that's not your hope of glory. If it is, I hope you'll listen very carefully to this message this morning. What is your hope of glory? What is your hope? To live a life of eternal glory and peace in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want my hope, and when I say my hope, I mean expectation. Hope means expectation. I want my expectation of eternal life to be a good hope. don't you? Well, what does Scripture say a good hope is? Christ is all. A good hope is Christ. A good hope, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Hold your finger there. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. A good hope is God's grace in Christ Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and a good hope through grace. A good hope is a hope in God's grace in Christ Jesus. Let me give you here a few things about a good hope of glory. Number one, the foundation of a good hope of glory is Christ, because Christ is all. The foundation of our hope is who Christ is and what he's accomplished for his people. The foundation of our hope of glory is that everything that God requires us to be, we are in Christ, because Christ is all. Look in verse 12 of chapter 1 of Colossians. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, that's fit, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now how is it that the Father made a sinful people qualified, fit, to be able to inherit, partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light? How did he do that? In Christ. He did it through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, because Christ is all. Christ is the foundation of our hope, because Christ is the deliverer. Look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us, he's transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Christ has delivered his people from sin. He delivered us by being made sin for us. He delivered his people from our sin by putting our sin away through the blood of his sacrifice. Christ has delivered us from the curse of the law. How? Being made a curse for us. Christ has delivered his people from death by dying for them as their substitute. Christ is our deliverer. We're delivered from all things in our Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ is all. Then Christ is the foundation of our hope, because Christ is the Redeemer. Look at verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now the foundation of our hope is the Lord Jesus. And he is no mere man, is he? The Lord Jesus Christ is the only perfect man to ever live. So he's the only man who ever lived who had perfect, sinless blood. And that's the only blood that the Father could ever accept as payment for sin, for the sin of his people. The blood of Christ is perfect. So that blood paid the redemption price. And that perfect, pure blood cleanses his people from all sin. Now that gives us a good hope, doesn't it? Have our sin debt paid for, be cleansed from all of our sin. That not only is that a good hope, that's the only hope we can ever have. That our sin is forgiven because it's been washed away in the blood of Christ. Then Christ is the foundation of our hope, because the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And since he's God, he has both the power and the character to redeem. Look at verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now this one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, can deliver his people from their sin. He can deliver them from death. He can transfer them into the kingdom of God's dear Son, because he's no mere man. He's the Son of God. There verse 13, Paul says, into the kingdom of his dear Son. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. That means that the man, Jesus, is God Almighty in human flesh. And since he's God, he has all the power of God. He has the righteousness of God. He has the ability to accomplish the will of God to deliver his people from their sin. Because he's perfect. Because he has all power. He's perfect. So his death, because he's perfect, his death is valuable enough to satisfy God's just law. God's law demands death for sin. You and I are so just such sinful creatures. Our death can't satisfy that law. That's why we would spend eternity in hell paying for that, because our sin, because our death can't satisfy God's law. But God's Son is perfect. The death of God in human flesh satisfied God's just law. This man, Jesus of Nazareth, Paul said, is the image of the invisible God. He is the revelation of the invisible God. All you and I will ever see, and not just now, but I mean physically, in eternity, all we'll ever see of God is Jesus Christ. He's the manifestation of the invisible God. God was manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And God made flesh gives sinners like us a good hope, because God in the flesh can do for us what we could never do for ourselves. Establish righteousness. Make us accepted in the Father. Shed His blood to wash away our sin. We have a good hope in Christ, because Christ is the man, Jesus Christ, is God in the flesh. Then Christ is the foundation of our hope, because Christ is the Creator. Verse 16, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Our Savior is the Creator, the one who created everything. When God spoke and said, let there be light, that was Christ, the Word of God speaking. He created everything. John said, without Him was not anything made that was made. And that gives His people a good hope. Because our Savior uses that same power, the power that He used to speak this universe into existence, is the same power that He uses to cleanse His people from their sin and to create a new man, a new creation in them. Then Christ is the foundation of our hope, because Christ is the King. The King who ever lives, ruling and reigning to ensure the salvation of His people. Verse 17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Now there at the end of verse 15, when Paul says He's the firstborn of every creature, that word firstborn means King. Christ is the King, and the King rules over all of His creation. Christ created everything. By the word of His power. And by the word of His power, everything in creation consists. It's all held together by Christ. He holds it all together, and He arranges every event of providence for this purpose, that His people would be redeemed. He arranges every event of providence so that His people will cross the path with one of God's preachers, and they'll hear. He'll give them faith to believe, and they'll hear. They'll look to Christ and be saved. Now, that gives us a good hope, doesn't it? I tell you, as one who preaches the gospel, that comforts my heart more than you know. I am very thankful that the state of your eternal soul does not depend on me preaching well enough. I'm thankful. It depends on the Savior that I preach, that He'll make His word effectual. That gives us a good hope. The one who has all power uses that power to guarantee the salvation of the people that He purchased for them at Calvary. Then Christ is the foundation of our hope, because everything that a sinner could ever need is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Now, when Paul says all fullness dwells in Christ, this is what he means. That every spiritual blessing is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. All life is in Christ. All righteousness and holiness is in Christ. All forgiveness and peace is in Christ. All redemption, all grace, all mercy is found in Christ. All of God's love is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fullness of every blessing that God has for a sinner is found in one place, in one person, in Christ. Well, now, why is that? Why is all fullness found in Christ? Why isn't almost everything found in Christ? And then I can top it off by what I do. Why isn't it that way? Because it pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell. It pleased the Father to do it that way. So all fullness is in Christ, so a man can't add anything to it. And it pleased the Father to do it that way because Christ is all. So that Christ get all of the glory. And I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad because a sinner can have a good hope of glory if all fullness is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's elect have the fullness of everything that God has for a sinner through union with Christ. Paul says Christ is the head of the church. So everything that Christ is, the church is. The body, the church, always has everything the head has. Well, Christ is all. All fullness dwells in Christ. Christ is everything that we need. So we have a good hope of glory through union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Christ is the foundation of our hope because peace with God is found in Christ. Verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. There is peace with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ made peace because the blood of Christ took away the sin that made God angry. So God's reconciled. God's at peace because the blood took away the sin that made him angry. But now the sinner's still angry at me. How's there going to be peace? It's through the blood of Christ. When the blood of Christ is applied to our hearts in the new birth, we quit being angry at God too. The same blood that satisfied God, made God not angry, applied to our hearts, make the sinner not angry too. And now there's peace. There's peace with God through the blood of Christ. If you have peace with God, you've got a good hope, don't you? The foundation of that hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the foundation of our hope is Christ, because Christ is the reconciler. Verse 21, he says he's reconciled all things unto himself, and you, even you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Christ is the reconciler. Now, we have to be reconciled, don't we? Because in Adam, we were separated from God because of Adam's disobedience. But in Christ, we're reconciled. We're brought back to God. We're brought back to fellowship with God. We're brought back into friendship with God because of the obedience of Christ. In Adam, we were made sinners. In Christ, we're made without any sin. That's what, when Paul says blameless, that's what he means. There's no sin. Even God himself cannot blame you for your sin. He can't see any sin in you if Christ died for you. Because Christ made you blameless. And he's reconciled us, brought us back in friendship and fellowship with God. Christ has made us blameless through the blood of his sacrifice. Now that gives a sinner a good hope, doesn't it? Because the holy God will always accept perfection. Well, if Christ has made you perfect, if he's made you blameless, then you have a good hope. God will accept you in Christ. So you see that? The foundation of our hope is Christ, isn't it? Because Christ is all. All right, I see that. That's the foundation of a good hope. But how can I know that's my hope? What right do I have to believe that everything Christ did, he did for me? Now I'll tell you, I believe that. I really do. I believe that everything Christ did, he did for me. Well, what right do I have to believe that? What right do I have to expect? I hope, remember, hope is to expect. What right do I have to expect to be in glory with Christ for eternity? I expect that. But is it right for me to expect that? Is that presumption? Or is that a good hope? Which is it? Well, the foundation, number one, of our hope is Christ. Here's the second point. Our hope of glory itself is Christ in you. Verse 27 again. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is grace experienced in the heart. It's grace that's felt and enjoyed in the heart. It's something that's felt. It's an emotion, isn't it? Hope, expectation is an emotion. Now let me say this about this emotional thing, and this is important in our day. Religion that's all feeling and all emotion is damning to the soul. It's void of all truth. But to the other extreme, religion that's all fact and all doctrine and has no feeling and no experience in it is just as damning. Religion that is only fact and doctrine without any emotion to it is dead. There's no warmth of life there because Christ is not there. Carla told me at the conference in Crossville, Brother Bruce Crabtree preached a message. I don't have it in my notes. I forget the title. The title was outstanding. And she said there wasn't a dry eye in there. Where'd all that emotion come from? It wasn't just emotional preaching, was it? It was truth that drew emotion from the new man. When I was in worship, it's not just listening to a lecture. When I was in college, I had a night class. Now, I probably shouldn't have took this class at night. But I would walk, Janet sometimes would walk with me as night class, 2.5 hours long. I'd sit there and listen to lectures on economic theory. Oh, my goodness sakes. I mean, you talk about dry and lifeless. Ugh. You listen to me. Religion. It might make you feel smart. It might make you feel doctrinally straight. But religion that is only fact, that is only doctrine, that there's no feeling to it, there's no warmth in it, is just as dry and lifeless as those lectures on economic theory. I'm telling you the truth. Worship has to do with a person. I've used this illustration before, and it's the best I can come up with. Marriage, to me, is not theory. It's not something I read about in a book. Marriage, to me, is a person. That makes all the difference. Worship has to do with a person. Salvation, righteousness, a good hope, all have to do with the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He's preached in truth, that's going to draw out the emotions. The emotions of the new man will be deeply affected by hearing of His sacrifice for you. That God was made flesh for you. That He became obedient to the law for you. See, hope is an emotion. Love is an emotion. Gratefulness and gratitude and assurance are all emotions. So the believer's hope itself has to do with emotion, doesn't it? It's Christ in you. It's in you. Now, we would say a good hope is being elected by the Father unto salvation. If I could have just heard the Father and the Son talking and they would say my name, that I was elected, I would have a good hope. But I couldn't hear that, could I? That happened before creation. Well, how do I know if I'm one of the elect? Christ in you. You know you're one of the elect because you believe Christ. God only gives faith to His elect, doesn't He? When Paul wrote to Timothy, and he talked to Timothy about faith, You know what Paul called saving faith? The faith of God's elect. God only gives faith to the elect. Do you believe Christ? Then you're one of the elect. It's your hope is Christ in you. Then we'd say this, I would have a good hope. I would be so confident if I knew that my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But now I can't go to heaven and open up that book and find my name in it, can I? So how can I have a good hope? How do I know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Christ in you. If God wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, He's written His law on your new heart too. In the same hand that wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life has written His name on your heart. It's Christ in you. Then we'd say, a good hope is knowing Christ died for me. If I could have just been there and saw the Savior on the tree, and He'd say, I'm doing this for you. Oh, I'd be so sure, I'd be so confident, my faith would never waver. But that didn't happen, did it? A good hope is if Christ died for you, because His death guarantees your life. But then how can I know that Christ died for me? Christ in you. I know Christ died for me because I believe Him. I have faith in Him. I know that Christ died for me because I see the death of Christ as the sacrifice for my sin. I know Christ died for me because I see the death of Christ as my death to sin and to the law. It's Christ in you. Then we'd say a good hope is knowing that the Holy Spirit has given me life in the new birth. Well, how do I know that? You know, sometimes I feel, oh, I've been born again. There's a new man in me that loves God, that believes God, that hungers and thirsts after Him. Sometimes it feels like there's not. I can't look inside me and see an old man and a new man. How do I know He's there? How do I know that I've been born again? Brethren, it's Christ in you. That's your hope. If the Spirit's given you life, He has showed you the things of Christ. That's the Spirit's job. He'll take the things of mine, our Lord said, and show them unto you. He'll show you that Christ is your all. And the Spirit will keep pointing you to Christ so that you continue to look to Him and you continue to rely upon Him. That's how you know you've been born again, is the Spirit has showed you Christ to make you look to Him. You see, Christ in you, that is your hope of glory. Now, these other things about Christ is all, that's the foundation of our hope. But a good hope itself is Christ in you. In closing, let me give you this. What is it for Christ to be in you? Paul says it's a mystery, isn't it? Christ in you. What is it for Christ to be in you? Look back at Galatians chapter 1. First of all, for Christ to be in you, Christ in you is to be saved. Galatians 1 verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son, not to me, but to reveal His Son in me. Not only did He reveal Christ to me, but He revealed Him in me. He was born in me. To have Christ in you is to be saved. Look over Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Christ in you is to be born again. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. When Paul talks there about travailing, he's talking about labor pains. He's talking about laboring in birth until Christ be formed in you. That's what it is for Christ to be in you. It's to be born again. It's to have a new man formed, born in you by the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Christ in you is to be saved. Christ in you is to be born again. And thirdly, Christ in you is to belong to God, to be owned by God. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. For the Spirit to dwell in you, that is to belong to God, to be owned by Him. That's Christ in you. Now, a good hope of glory, it's the experience of grace in the heart. A good hope of glory is not just Christ in the covenant of grace. It's Christ in you. A good hope of glory is not just Christ in the Scriptures. A good hope of glory is not just Christ on the cross. It's Christ in you. A good hope of glory is not Christ in the tomb or Christ risen from the tomb. It's Christ in you. A good hope of glory is not Christ on the throne. It's Christ in you. Now, I can't have a good hope without any of those things, can I? Because they're all the foundation of a good hope. The foundation of my hope is Christ in the covenant of grace. The foundation of our hope is Christ in the Scriptures. The foundation of our hope is Christ on the cross, Christ in the tomb, Christ risen from the tomb. The foundation of our hope is Christ on the throne in glory. But a good hope itself is the experience of that. The experience of Christ, grace in the heart. Our Lord told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And when you're born again, then you have the experience of grace. Then Christ Himself is formed in the heart. Hawker called this Christ in you. He called it the inward manifestation of an outward work. I like that. It's that Christ in you is the inward manifestation of the outward work. The evidence, the reason that you can expect to be in glory with Christ, the reason that you can hope, expect that Christ did all these things for you, is Christ in you. That's a good hope of glory. All right, the Lord bless you.